Is everybody okay? Well, we're back here at WSBE, live and broadcasting to the millions and thousands across the globe. We are going to move the budget item, which you'll see is next on our agenda, to after our lunch break and come back at this point to a conversation on educator preparation and licensing rules and content assessment. Right. Mr. Commissioner.
You're going to try and cover both items now, right?
And then we're going to, immediately following that, take a look at the Praxis 2 content exams.
Thank you. Well, the first item really has to do with how aligned are we when it comes to our assessments in this area. And Dr. Colleen O'Neill is going to go through that with you, what we want to do in a comprehensive study that's long overdue, and explain that process, as well as the next generation of Praxis 2. It's a process you go through periodically that's always a delight. For you to review and approve, okay? So, with that in mind, I'll turn it over to you.
Mr. Chairman.
Please. Good afternoon, morning. I think it's still morning, somewhere in there.
Somewhere.
Barely.
Thank you, barely. Still in the morning, so thank you. I do have two items to go through.
When do you want to do that?
Right after lunch.
Okay.
We may come back early from lunch.
I do have two items to go through this morning. So the first one is really an information item that I'm bringing forward. So in the last year, educator licensing has had an opportunity to really take a look at our rule alignment as well as our price and practice assessments, content assessments. We have discovered that there are some misalignments associated with that. As an example, some of our place assessments that we were contracted with in 1994 to really write in accordance with our standards and our rules are still the same assessments as 1994. So we actually are embarking on a comprehensive study to take a look at our rule alignment, our place and our practice assessments, and our content assessments throughout the entire state with our stakeholders. So that work has already started with pulling together a documented quotation. So we will be engaged with a third party to really help us with this work because it involves our stakeholders coming together to really talk about where our rules are in alignment with our Colorado academic standards, with our principal and teacher quality standards as identified in Senate Bill 191. And we will be working with them to pull together stakeholder groups across for the state for about a 12 to 18 month period of time. That work is set to begin in June. The ultimate intention there is
Busy. We had to push the push button. Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to move it away this time.
I don't have to repeat that, do I?
No.
Okay,
no.
Just checking. So the concluding or the culmination of this work will actually be a report to the Board of Education for recommendations for you to vote on to identify where our place and praxis can align as well as our rule alignment. This is, again, work that started about last year this time, and it's culminating now into actually a documented quote that we'll look for a third party to begin and engage all of our stakeholders across the state. Okay. The next item, are there any questions? I should stop.
I don't have the benefit of curve panel. It's kind of hard to see what's going on.
So we have to push this. No wonder.
Yeah, there we go.
It explains so much. Right?
I thought the green light was on. Can you just unpack that a little more for clarity? You said we're going to be beginning a process to align the rules, the Colorado academic standards, and the licensure standards to begin in June with stakeholders. What does that mean? You're going to have a listening tour. You're going to ask people to come in during the summer and actually do a crosswalk between those documents. You're hiring a vendor to do it. What's actually happening this summer?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Absolutely. So this summer, we will be doing a lot of that alignment work. So the documented quote as it went out for a response, for proposal, essentially, for a bid on that, is for a third party to come in and work strategically with us. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have 10 stakeholder meetings that will be scheduled in conjunction with several of our meetings that are happening already, such as our Colorado Dean's Associations has meetings together. So we will be looking at trying to identify strategically how we can bring together those stakeholders to do the crosswalks first, mm-hmm. and then individual meetings. A lot of that has not been fully articulated at this point in time, depending on who the vendor will be.
So are you going to bring the deans together then?
Mr. Chair?
Please, go ahead.
Absolutely. We will bring deans, educators, our parents. We would like students on those panels. We will be talking with all of our CDE representatives in our content areas, as well as really intricately taking a look at the crosswalk documents, as you identified, mm-hmm. with regard to where our rules are today, as well as where our Colorado academic standards and teacher and principal quality standards are.
And do you have any dates yet, just because the summer is upon us and schedules are tightening? And
Mr. Chair,
please.
I do not have any dates yet. Okay. We are trying very hard to actually articulate that with any other sessions that are already happening across the state, so we're not piling on meetings across that. So as soon as we get them together, the documented quote will close at the end of May, and we will be able to identify who that successful individual will be at the other end of that to help us with the stakeholder alignment work.
And to learn of those dates, it would come through code?
Mr. Chair, I think it'll come through a bunch of different channels right now. We're strategically identifying several of the mechanisms, which would include our scoop, the code, our websites, as well as other educator newsletters that go about.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Angelica?
So this is standard area by standard area?
Mr. Chair, right now, yes, it's going to be standard area by standard area. We will actually be looking at every single rule as it's as aligned with our standards and in our endorsements.
And when you say 10 meetings, you're not talking about 10 standard areas. You're talking about 10 different groups of folks. I'm a little confused as to the map of how you're doing it standard by standard and who provides the input.
Mr. Chair, I'll be really honest. We want to develop that in conjunction with whoever the successful individual is on the other side of the offer to make sure that our vendor partners are in alignment with that. Right now, what we have identified is crosswalk documents that have actually been in place since about 2011 with regard to where our current Colorado academic standards are as adopted in 2010-2011 timeframe, in addition to our principal quality standards. So we already have crosswalk documents that we've talked about, and those documents will begin to be vetted. And then as we identify the priority areas with our deans of education, our educator preparation programs, as well as our school leaders, as to what areas those will be. So those will be strategically identified and then prioritized based off of that. Does that help?
And Mr. Chair, if I might, just to sort of solidify the problem that we're trying to solve, it's kind of twofold. One is we have incoming teachers coming into our classrooms who are taking these tests and saying they reflect nothing of what either my program had because it's advanced beyond and what is going to be expected of me to be effective in the classroom because they're just outdated tests. And from the ed prep programs themselves that have said, the processes don't align anymore. We've moved ahead. We're meeting the needs of our districts and our teachers who are going into those districts. We've already revamped. We're already aligned. And our policies, the rule alignment, is behind. So this is a chance to get that caught up. And it's really been at the request of our ed prep institutions and candidates, teacher candidates, saying this really needs to be done.
Onward.
Okay. So the next item that we have on our agenda is the
Praxis 2.
The Praxis 2 content exams. And we did, Educational Testing Services conducts an extensive review every single year of the Praxis assessments, which result in regenerated assessments for us. Those assessments have to come before the board, of course, for approval with regard to the content as well as the cut scores. This month, we are having an information session only. Next month, it will be an actual vote on whether to adopt these regenerated assessments or not. So we will start with just kind of an overview of our system as it stands today. So to help identify some context for this, you're responsible for establishing the methods in which our candidates are approved from an educational content perspective with regard to educator licensure and how they demonstrate that level of content knowledge. Within that association or within that approval, the tests currently used in the state of Colorado are, of course, the PLACE assessments, which are offered by Pearson. And those are Colorado-specific assessments. Those second ones are the praxis assessments that are actually developed by Educational Testing Services and have interstate reciprocity, I suppose, is a good way to say it. So many states offer the praxis two exams. As the tests are updated, the board must review and take action on those individual assessments. The annual change for Colorado comes about every single year as a regeneration process in which ETS really takes a look at this actual standards. They really strategically align that with a review of the standards and the assessment to make sure those are still meeting the needs. We will talk today about the process for that praxis regeneration. We will also talk about the Colorado's regenerated praxis tests, the three that are coming before you in information session this month and decision next month. We will also talk about the score recommendations. The ETS regeneration process, just as a reminder, why do we do it? Why do we look at it? And place, again, we have not gone through that process, which is what the previous item was talking about.
Colleen, can you define ETS for the board ETS. And just what that ETS is?
Absolutely.
They might not understand.
Okay. Absolutely. ETS is Educational Testing Service. They are equivalent to a Pearson on the other side, so they provide us with the services for the educational test content assessments that we use. From that perspective, from the regeneration perspective and the process, we absolutely keep our content fresh. We want to be able to ensure that we have alignment with that. It aligns to the most current standards. We, of course, want reliability and validity, and it reduces the candidate burden and cost to make sure that we have some alignment across interstate agencies. Annual confirmation of the specifications by committees and experts is conducted, and I'll talk a little bit about that process for the regeneration of the assessments. This particular slide talks about the actual test development process that Educational Testing Services actually uses when they bring the praxis forward to us in regenerated assessments. The first one is that the first step is that they do amass a national advisory council to bring together to talk about the standards alignments and as well as the analyses of the content as it goes together. They then conduct a job analysis survey. And then they have a national advisory committee that reviews that again. Again, it's about crosswalking those documents to say these are the standards and these are the assessment pieces that we're using between those two things. They then identify the test specifications, which we're actually testing on, develop the test form. Then they do standard setting as needed across the states. And then, of course, they administer the test multiple times in a beta environment or in a test environment to ensure that they are getting the reliability and validity that they expect from that. They then make the recommendations to the states as to how those regenerated assessments will align and when we need to adopt them. There are two models that we use very specifically, or that ETS also uses very specifically in identifying their regenerated praxis assessments. Those two models are, of course, the state model. And for tests that a state is adding to the existing requirements, they need about a 10 to 20 person panel. We did not engage in that panel for these assessments that are coming forward today, for the three regenerated assessments. We did not send a representative, and nor did we amass them at the state level for these three assessments that are coming forward today. However, what we did do, or where they did go, I should say, ETS, with the multi-state model, is they actually amassed different states and individuals in their committee to identify what the validation and standard setting process will be. I will be bringing forward those recommendations to you today for consideration and vote tomorrow. How about next month? Not tomorrow. We won't move it right along that quickly. The process of the multi-state standard setting, so that you are very well aware of how this actually functions for us, is that panelists absolutely take the tests for familiarity. They ensure that they know what those tests look like, and then they retake and retake as they go through the process. The panelists then define the knowledge and skills, so they take the current tests. They then ensure that they identify the knowledge and skills that are needed for candidates who should just barely pass the test. And I think that's important to know, is that this is the minimum bar, not the maximum bar. So when we make score recommendations, they are very, very much at the just qualified candidate level, or what they're referring to as the JQC, another wonderful acronym for us in education. But the just qualified candidate level, meaning I just graduated from an educator preparation program and I'm ready to enter into the classroom, what do I need to know at the very lowest minimum bar in order to teach the content in which I am being endorsed? So in order to do that from a multi-state standard perspective, they have two rounds of judgments with feedback as well as discussion. So they absolutely go through the process, those two committee, so committee one and committee two, they go through the process of taking the assessments once they have re-standardized them or regenerated those assessments to ensure that there is the validity and reliability on the other side of it, and it is meeting the expectations. And then they produce a report with recommended score value and the validity information. That's what we use to make recommendations moving forward. During this process, they identify what they believe to be. Again, this is the committee at a more interstate level. They identify what the standard set or what the cut scores should be. So they engage in a standard setting study, which involves experts for each assessment, as well as teachers, administrators, college faculty, individuals who are very well aware of the content and the standards as they're implemented at the educational level. The recommended cut scores from each panel, as well as the average cut scores across the two panels, are provided to the state departments of education. So we have all of those documents, as well as the recommended cut scores. We will go through those a bit later. Then the final cut score is set at the discretion and the control of each individual state. So it is absolutely our discretion, your discretion, to set those cut scores for us on an individual state level. So they make a recommended, from a committee of multi-state individuals, they make a recommended cut score, which we will usually, in the past, traditionally, especially last year, we said we will adopt those recommended cut scores. However, we want to conduct an analysis over the next course of the year to identify if those are the right cut scores for the state of Colorado. So that is more conversation that can certainly happen as we get to the end of the presentation as well. For this year, the regenerated Educational Testing Services Praxis 2 assessments that we would like to bring before you are three. It is the elementary education, so the content knowledge assessment for our elementary educators. It is also the school psychologist and our speech language pathology regenerated assessments. I'll talk about each one individually, and then we can absolutely bring together a more comprehensive view of that. For our elementary education content knowledge assessments, there was a multi-standard setting study that was held in Princeton, New Jersey. It was held in January of 2014, so it was held this January. Seven states and Guam were represented by 16 panelists. Those participating jurisdictions and the number of panelists from each jurisdiction are included here. So we had Delaware, Guam, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nevada, and South Dakota. Again, Colorado was not represented on that panel. The recommended score coming from that panel for the Praxis Elementary Education Content Knowledge Assessment is 83 out of a possible 120 raw score points. That's the recommended cut score that they're bringing forward to us. That translates to a scaled score that's associated with a raw score of 83. So that is 163 is what the recommended cut score is on a 100 to 200 point scale. To give you just a little bit of comparison for that, right now the elementary education cut score is 147 on our current elementary education test. So the cut score would actually raise somewhat on a new regenerated assessment as recommended. The next one we'll talk about is the school psychologist praxis regenerated assessment. This again was a multi-state standard setting study. It was held in Princeton again. This was held November of last year, so last fall. There were 17 panelists from 16 different states represented with our school psychologists. You can see the list there of the number of panelists and the states represented. Again, I just want to note that Colorado was not part of that study. The recommended cut score for this is the Praxis School Psychologist test. It's again a 64 out of possible 110 raw score points. Scaled score associated with that is, with that 64 is 147 on a 100 to 200 point scale. Again, for comparison purposes, Our school psychologist test right now is 165. So those cut score points would come down somewhat. Again, completely regenerated test with some differences in our standard setting. This was endorsed by the National Association of School Psychologists as well. So I think it's just important to note that they were part of this process on a, as a specialized service professional perspective. Our next one that we will talk about, and I just skipped right through it, is our speech-language pathology assessment. Our speech-language pathology was held, our standard setting study was held in Princeton again. That was held in January of this year. The American Speech-Language Hearing Association, or ASHA, was part of that, and it was recommended by panelists of 16 states. Here are our states that are included, including Arkansas, Georgia, Hawaii, Iowa, Indiana, Massachusetts. You can read the rest of them, but there was a fairly large, nice diversity of panel there as well. The recommended score for the Praxis Speech-Language Pathology Test is a raw score of 74 out of a possible 108. For the scaled score associated with that, it would be 162 out of a 100 to 200 point scale. The current school language speech-language pathology test is not comparable because right now it is a 600 point score on a very large, very different scale. So they scaled it back, took a look at the standards-based setting there and identified a very different scale score that was associated with speech-language pathology. Again, ASHA has established a passing score as part of its certification to clinical competence. So these national, our specialized service providers also belong to a national association of some type, depending on where they are. They are also regulated by the Department of Regulation Authority, so DORA regulates many of those from a statewide as well as national perspective. All of those individuals were part of the standard setting program for ETS. I will go ahead and stop there and identify any questions that you may have for, with regard to where we are as far as recommendations and other information that I can answer for you.
Dr. Sheffield, you get to go first. We're going left to right.
Thank you. Appreciate the detail. Can you say how many times an individual can take one of the assessments? Has that changed in these new iterations?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
No, it has not changed in this iteration. So for the Praxis assessment, they can still take it they can take it an unlimited number of times. They do pay. It's now all online, so everything for Praxis will be transitioned to online in September of this year, where there will be no more paper and pencil tests for the Praxis 2 assessments. And so they can take it as many times as they want. There is a reduced fee depending on the test associated with it, but they can continue to take them.
And is there a waiting period between administrations that they have to observe?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Right now there is not, because they can schedule it individually rather than what it used to be, where there was a specific period of time in which you can take it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Angelica?
So I'm trying to understand the process. I'm focusing on elementary education because that's more our responsibility than the other two areas. So we have 8 states and territories. How many of those have recently updated their standards, their own elementary standards? Oh, so sorry.
Thank you.
How many of those particular states have actually recently updated their state standards? I'm a little flummoxed by the lack of representation. Seems to me to be a narrow, very narrow pool, and our focus certainly is on having very high performance in our elementary schools and adequate preparation for our teachers. And so if they take a test that's been directed by members of a state that haven't recently updated their standards? Am I completely off on that observation? Or
no, I absolutely not. And I think that's a good question. I'll be very honest. I do not know the answer to when they updated their standards. I do know that our standards actually have not been updated with regard to elementary education since... I think it was 2010.
Right.
Was the last time we looked at our rules. So I would I can absolutely do research on that and get back to what happened.
I'm talking about the content.
I'm talking about the content standards.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
She's talking about the professional.
The professional standards. Okay. But I'm talking about the content standards.
So that
if these folks have not even been looking at their content standards, whether they're Common Core in English and Math or, I mean, all our 10 standards, how am I convinced that based on the input from these states, teachers prepared to teach in Colorado, elementary teachers prepared to teach in Colorado, have the appropriate content?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Jill is kind enough to tell me that she thinks everybody has updated those standards recently in alignment with Race to the Top funding, I would assume, as well as other nationalized associations. But I also have to say that I can do research on it to identify exactly when those standards were updated for each one of those individual states and what their contribution was to that level.
Yeah, thank you.
We can do that.
So Race to the Top is just a couple of areas, and
right.
Common Core.
Right.
Those are just two areas where Common Core was adopted without actually going through a state process, in fact. But I think elementary education is a much broader area in science and et cetera.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
I'm surprised that we have only 8 and none of them are considered the leading standards in terms of the leading states in terms of the standards process. I'm thinking Massachusetts, for example, and Kentucky, et cetera. And yet in the other two areas you had 17 states.
Mm-hmm.
Is this because people are so busy they can't provide participants?
Mr. Chair, I don't know. I will absolutely ask ETS exactly what, you know, how did they solicit individuals to come to the elementary education specifically? How did they solicit
that one specifically?
Those? Yeah, how did they solicit those, and what was the response, and how is that been articulated? I think that will better
right.
inform.
Then this, my second one is that once we adopt the new practice, what's the process for feedback from folks who are taking the test? Does it really seem to align with what's being what their perception of our standards are? Similar to the responses we're getting right now to the old test, is there a good process for feedback?
Mr. Chair, that process is I would have to say, I'm going to just be really honest, traditionally that has not been a good process, no. We have not had a solid process for it. Moving forward, will we have a process? Absolutely. That should be a yearly process in which we engage with stakeholders, as well as go through our data and identify analyses on the other side as to how we are really looking at our standards alignment, as well as the outcomes of the place and praxis assessments. So ETS does actually have a very nice database that we can get in and manipulate ourselves to answer questions, data-engaged questions on the other side. I don't think that we've used it as strongly as we could. So moving forward, we will absolutely have that, and that will be part of our rules, that previous conversation. How do we do that on an annual basis so that we're coming forward with the most current information for you?
Yep.
Just a comment. Just knowing a little bit about the work ETS does, I think they have a very structured, incredible process, and I think Terry Owen is our contact. So if to Angelica's point, if we want a detail on how they chose those individuals and how they structured their work, I think they'd be quite detailed in providing that.
Mr. Chair,
please.
I need to apologize in advance because Terry Owens was scheduled to be here. She was trying to be here tomorrow because she was in Nevada today for their State Board of Education meeting. And so when I was like, Terry, we can't do it tomorrow. We have to do it today. And so she is not here. She is meeting with me tomorrow, however, in Denver. I'll be happy to ask her those questions, and I think we can get feedback back very quickly to assist in that decision.
Other questions?
Yes,
Jane, go ahead.
Colleen, thank you very much for this. I know we started to chat about it before. Is there a set schedule? Is there a set forward-thinking plan about which content areas come up in the cycle? Place was one part. Is a part of the conversation. Praxis definitely. At some point, I look forward to us talking about where are we going, what are our aspirations around developing this whole thing so that it really is more in tune with what we're asking new licensed folks to be doing and ready for. So that's all.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much for the response on that. I have started to go through with our educator preparation teams as well as all of the data to identify where are some of our largest areas of assessment taking. We have some very large areas, and I mean just off of the top of my head here, Japanese, we have exactly one person who has taken it in the last year. However, when we look at our elementary education content, they have 241 that have taken the place in addition to the Praxis. So I think we can use that as our starting point in addition to our educator preparation programs as a prioritization level to make sure that cycle comes back around on a more consistent basis. So thank you.
Well, but yes, thank you. But I also think it probably has a lot to do with school district just demand. So as district capacities and their own goal setting and changes over time, according whether it matches up with standards, our whole improvement drive in the state is going to, I would think, dictate a lot of what district decision making turns out to be. So if that's development or not of particular content areas, which then impacts staff needs and money available, all those things. But yes, as you know, we have had a long-standing conversation about the movement of world language instruction, and as the fluctuations happen of demand, and yet other content areas, everything playing its role within the big picture, it does make things a little hard to predict. But there are some educators who are most interested in having as good of measurements for everything we do as possible, and that's one area. So, thanks.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So, with that, I believe we will take a break, grab a bite of lunch. When we come back from our lunch break, we'll dive into the budget.
10-minute break.
So, eat lightly. 30-minute break.